So I want to welcome Sioux City Explorers play-by-play guy Connor Ryan. Connor, let's first of all begin with, what do you feel was the storyline from the South Division Championship Series?
I feel like the storyline was the Sioux City Explorers found ways to get runs in. The offense, they played really well up until game four. They had been averaging 9 runs a game. And the offense had been swinging it really well. Now, obviously, game four was kind of a little up and down, different story. We got hits, a few hits here and there, and then the offense went completely silent. Kansas City retired 16 in a row, 12 of those struck out. We struck out a season high 17 times. And then in the 13th inning, all of a sudden, the offense got going again. But the offense was really good in that series. They got some Kansas City pitching. Dylan Baker, who had owned the Explorers during the regular season, did not have a great game one. Jose Mesa Jr., which out for a lot of people, was kind of a head scratcher. I mean, he didn't pitch terrible, but he didn't pitch great. And then we were able to get to the Kansas City bullpen. Tommy Collier, same thing. He's a guy that, you know, is, I'm sure Steve Montgomery's been sleep this like last year. We only saw him a couple times this year, but same thing, we were able to get to him a little bit. So, I feel like that was kind of the story of the series. Our starting pitching was up and down. You know, Sierra didn't have a great start, but then Kirsch came back and had his best one of his career as an Explorer. Pete Tago came out and, you know, was kind of up and down in his, but then Taylor Jordan came back the next night and was absolutely fantastic. And, of course, the bullpen, which we really relied on heavily on Solwell and Velez. And then, I mean, what can you say more about, you know, Matt Pogorico the other night? No hit, shutout, relief innings to help us win the game. That's your closer that's usually only going an inning, maybe two in an emergency save situation, but he went out there and gave us 4 incredible innings, and that was unbelievable. So, good series overall. So, you know, to be the king, you have to beat the king, and so we at least did that here this season.
Were there moments when you look back on that series where you thought it was like a big moment that help the team to advance to the championship series?
I mean, obviously, Cermal's triple in the 13th inning sure helped. that helps. One play that Mago keeps kind of pointing out is the at bat before Cermal's in that 13th inning was Hazel Baker's bunt. It kind of gets glossed over with Jose's heroics, but Samson gets aboard with a single. Hazel Baker then puts down the bunt. That gets Samson to second, puts him at first, and makes the situation entirely different. Hazel Baker hadn't picked up a hit yet in Kansas City, and for him to be able to come up there, your cleanup guy, former big leaguer, and put down a bunt in that situation when Kansas City wasn't expecting it, was absolutely huge, and really shouldn't go overlooked. I mean, I understand, you know, the narrative of it is credit to Cermal for his triple, but Hazel Baker's bunt was incredible. I would say really the turning point of the series would have to be game three, that 9th inning. It was still a very close 4-2 ball game, and it was very nip and tuck. Both teams were going at it. Our bullpen was trying to hang on to the lead, and Nate Sampson came up with a runner at first base and launched one over the left field wall, which made it 6-2, and at the time I remember saying, you know, that's great, but still a 4-run lead here against this team in Kansas City because they never give up, and for some reason that's a tough ballpark to hold a lead in. You know, a 4-run lead is great, but that's one thing. And then Kelly comes through with a 2-out single as well. That was huge. So I would say that I think that 9th inning in Game 3 helped really turn the tide because it was still a very close game, very still up in the air of who would win. And then all of a sudden the X's break out for 4 runs in that 9th inning. I think that was huge.
What do you think makes this a championship team right now?
I would say the starting pitching we're getting. Eric Karch was magnificent, and he'll go here tonight in game one. Pete Tonga didn't have a great start against Kansas City, but the guy is a competitor. If you look at his left-right splits, he struggles sometimes against lefties, so Kansas City was a very tough matchup for him. That was proven in the regular season as well, but against a team that has a lot of right-handed bats, he will pitch very well, and I think we have a little bit of an advantage in that against St. Paul. And, you know, obviously Taylor Jordan in the bullpen. I mean, the bullpen is going to go out there and just, they're going to give you everything they have. You have a guy like Tyler Falwell, who's the first reliever in Explorers history to go over 100 strikeouts as primarily a reliever. He's been fantastic. Jose Velez is great because he can not only get lefties out, but he's actually been even better against right-handers, and the ball just comes out of his hands in a way righties can't pick it up. And, you know, Matt Pogorico in the ninth inning has been untouchable for us this season. And that's what you have to do to win championship series is you have to get good pitching, you have to get clutch pitching, especially on a bullpen when those are tough outs to get. That's where I feel like this team really has kind of a, you know, I wouldn't say upper hand because St. Paul's bullpen is very good as well, but, you know, if we get the lead, this bullpen knows how to hold on to it.
What worries you about this St. Paul Saints team?
That they're a team of destiny. they have a storyline going for them. They have the momentum going for them. You know, we didn't have a long break, but 2 days off from professional baseball is a very long time. They're used to being and playing every day. And, you know, the team practice yesterday stayed sharp a little bit, and I'm not really too worried about the guys coming out flat. They're excited. They're ready to go. But, I mean, you look at what St. Paul just accomplished. They are definitely coming into the series saying, you know, there is no deficit we can't come back from. They came back on Friday from being down 0-2. And there's no lead in any game that we can't come back from. They came back from 4-0 down. And last night they came back from 5-0 down and then 7-5 down in the late innings. So, this team has the utmost confidence in themselves that no matter what's going on early, no matter what happens in the ballgame, we'll eventually figure it out. And that's kind of a scary thing to think about is that, you know, if, you know, we've been down big before, we were able to kind of come back. But, you know, St. Paul just did about 3 nights in a row where they've won in improbable ways and their confidence is sky high right now. Blake Shaw said it on the broadcast last night that, and we really need the bus to Sioux City. They could just fly down there. So, you know, obviously they feel like they're the team to beat. They feel like they're the team with destiny and that, even no matter what the score is in whatever situation in that dugout, they will not waver confidence at all in this series because they know that they can come back in any situation.
Recently, there's been a little bad blood between these two teams. Do you feel that plays a part in this series at all?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, both teams want to go out there and win, but when you get to this point of the season, I don't think there's a lot of thoughts of, hey, he flipped the bat against me, or he pitched me a little closer inside than he usually would, and it's usually all about what's going on the field in between the lines and trying to help your team win. I think all the guys understand that there's, you know, there's really no room to do something foolish like that and run the risk of being taken out of the game for your team. So I wouldn't imagine that there'd be anything like that. That you know, a guy like Nate Sampson, who kind of leads the clubhouse, would be the first one to tell you, like, hey, we need you to stay in the ball game. Don't do anything foolish. So I don't think there. I mean, it'll make it sweeter in the end, but. If you're able to come away the victor, but other than that, no, I don't think there'd be anything, any repercussions at all.
I think one story that it will play itself out in the series is the difference in stadiums. Do you see that having an impact on the series?
Possibly. I mean, you know, Mercy One Field is certainly known as a pitcher-friendly park, and Steve Montgomery builds his teams that way around speed and pitching. So, you know, St. Paul, they hit a lot of home runs this year. I know Sean kind of said they're not exactly a home run hitting team. He doesn't view them that way. But if you look at some of the big plays for St. Paul in their series against Fargo, it was homers. That's how they came back in game three, and it's how they came back last night was getting home runs. So, you know, some of those homers that, now, granted, some of them are no doubt shots. I think Brady Shoemaker hit a couple that were, you know, just, they would be out at any ballpark. So, but we've definitely seen that. I mean, in Kansas City, there was a few that snuck over the fence that in Sioux City, they don't. They're easy fly balls, so that could definitely be a factor. And, you know, obviously, let's not beat around the bush here either, that the Saints draw more than the Sioux City Explorers. That's a given. But what I'm proud of our fan base, and even the commissioner who was on with me the other night, Joshua Schaub, said, you know, these fans are very passionate in Sioux City. And I've heard that before from people that, you know, we might only get a couple hundred to 1,000, 1,500 fans, which is nothing for St. Paul, but our fans will make it sound like there's, you know, 4,000, 8,000 in the seats. They'll get rowdy, they'll get passionate, and they can certainly help help our guys to a win that way. So, yeah, I mean, St. Paul's always exciting, and you know, everyone always goes to St. Paul wanting to knock off, you know, what are the New York Yankees of the American Association. So I'm sure our guys will be excited to play at CHS Field again.
Next week, when the Sioux City Explorers are American Association champions, what will you believe happened that made that occur?
Well, let's see. Last week when you asked me that question, I will proudly say I said it was Jose Sermo that was going to have to come through for Sioux City, and he led the way with the team with the 8 RBIs and obviously big hit after big hit. I think he'll be important again. Nate Sampson was obviously huge, but for St. Paul, I think it's going to be pitching and bullpen. Just because I believe the, you know, offense can keep going and they can keep scoring runs like they did in Kansas City, but you're going to have to find a way with your bullpen and your pitching to not be like Fargo and surrender big leads. If you go up 5-0 on St. Paul, like I said, they're going to have the confidence in that dugout to say, guys, we've been here before. We're going to be fine. We'll come back as we always do. You need to put a little doubt in their mind as a bullpen and say, all right, well, you know, Fargo had a great bullpen as well. I can't, you know, he's not taking away from that at all, but you got to be able to find a way to keep the Saints at bay. If you take the lead, make sure you hold on to the lead. And you're going to have guys like Karch, Tago probably pitch a couple of games here in this series, and they're going to have to go out there and they're going to have to go out and give it their all. If we can get Pete Tago to go out and have a couple of absolutely dominant starts, I mean, he's must-watch baseball when he takes the mound. If you can sit here and say Tago gives you two starts of going, you know, 7 or 8 innings and giving up just a run or two, and say you can win those games, then you only need one more win after that. So that could be exciting for the X's. And but I think pitching is going to be the main consistency here for the X's if they want to win a championship. That's what Steve Montgomery and Bobby Post build their teams off of. And just make sure if you get the lead against St. Paul, don't give it back, because, you know, that's what they've been doing lately. And, you know, they have the utmost confidence they can come back. So make sure you put maybe a little bit of doubt in their mind that, you know, take one game where they aren't able to come back, and then they sit there saying, oh, maybe this is not the same bullpen or pitching staff we faced in Fargo. This one's not going to give us the lead back. We're not just going to be able to come back from 5 runs down. So, yeah, I think that'll be the big key.
Where can fans catch your broadcast?
They can listen to me on, if you're in Siouxland, 94.9 FM, 1360 AM, KSCJ. It's also got the live stream right on the internet, www.kscj.com, and there should be a little listen live tab you can click on and listen to. So appreciate. I would say all of you tune in. If you're in Sioux City listening, get on out to the ballpark. I'd rather have you at the ballpark than listening to me here for games 1 and 2 tonight and tomorrow. But when we go on the road, yep, tune in to KSCJ.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Connor.
All right. Thanks, Rob.